And now, back to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
And a very good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us. We are now in the second hour of Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you forgot the number, let me give it to you yet again. It's 855-454-5905. And we are talking about Beyond the Unanswered Prayer. What prayers are you putting before God about your marriage or your relationship? Let's take a moment and visit our second favorite book, that's Facebook, and see what people are talking about. Hey, Marcos, what are people saying on the book?
Okay, well, we know today's topic is about unanswered prayers. And so we posted, we said, you ever feel like you've prayed and prayed, but God doesn't answer your prayers regarding your relationship or marriage? And we're asking people to go ahead and comment on that. So we got a few comments here. We put this just a little while ago. It says, I can't wait. This was last night. I think it says, I can't wait for tomorrow's topic. I hope I can get the chance to listen in tomorrow. That's great. And I hope Ingrid is listening right now. And then also Sandra Robinson says, sometimes I feel that way, but only when one person has a relationship with God. What do you do? Okay, so it sounds like you're asking God for clarity, but you're unequally yoked, at least from what we get. So again, we encourage you to listen in. And Sandra, if you have an opportunity, call in so that we can get more into your situation and help you out there a little bit more. Alvin Hayes says, Sandra says, pray that the other person gets the same relationship with God. All right, good advice there. The only addition to that, I would say to what Alvin said, is just make sure you do that before you get into that relationship. Make sure he has a relationship with Jesus before you get into that relationship, okay? And then also Simmons here says, I used to until I built a personal fellowship, spending time in private, praising, worshiping, and studying with God. And now I know it's my faith that is the key. Denial does not mean delay. It was God giving me patience, understanding, building character, and it actually caused me and my hubby to pray together. Getting on one accord changed both of our lives. Great stuff there, Simmons. And then also, Sky Porter says, he always answers prayers, just not the way we expect or think that he should. Tish Robertson says, yes, but I believe he did answer mine with marriage. And sometimes I believe he doesn't answer because we already know the answer. And then last but not least, Dr. Darrell Parker says, I agree with you, Tish. Sometimes the answer is right in front of us, but we are just in denial about it. All right. Praise God. Thank you so much. And once again, we invite you to go to Facebook.com, type in Marriage Beyond the Vows and hit the like button. Mm-hmm. Get in on the conversation. We want to hear from you. And if you're in Charlotte, we want to encourage you to visit our website, praisecharlotte.com. And in Philadelphia, praisephilly.com. Look for me, Marcos Mercado. And you can also listen to archive shows or send me a message. Whatever you would like to do, we would love to stay connected with you. So thank you again for all those who posted your comments or questions, and we encourage you to continue to do that, especially throughout the week.
All right, let's go back to the phones. We have Catherine calling in on line 4. Catherine, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Thank you for calling.
All right, so tell us.
I'm glad I called.
All right, please share with us.
I'm calling this morning because I've been confused. I've been serving the Lord. I rededicated my life last year, and I got baptized in October. I lost my husband this year, but I've been battling with something for years, and I need to know if God heard my prayers, because I've been fighting with my flesh for a long time, where I've not been faithful, where I feel like I go up and down financially, in my relationship, because I have not yielded to the full laws of the Lord. And I just need to be delivered from this. I've made the wrong choices in relationship. I have not mourned my husband fully, and now I'm talking to a man that's Muslim. And I serve the Lord faithfully, so I need to know what is in my way so that God can use me in the areas that he wants.
Okay. Wow. Well, you said a lot, Catherine, and we thank you so much for opening up with us. And we will give you the best advice we can give. I mean, of course, some of the things that we'll share are just personal opinion. Others will come from the Word of God. But I just had a couple of questions for you. Number one, you said that you have not totally mourned or properly mourned your husband's death, and you're already speaking with someone. How did that come about, and what is your mindset regarding this other relationship?
How it came about is that I felt needy. I felt like I needed someone there, and it's a total amount of things, because I lost my job, and this person just popped up out of nowhere and was there to help.
Okay.
And I thought, well, hey, God might not send a Christian man, but he'll send somebody to help me.
Mm-hmm.
And regarding my mindset towards my mourning, that's what you asked me, right?
Yes.
I feel like I didn't pay the proper respects to my husband because I started speaking to someone too quickly.
Okay. Okay. Well, and I appreciate that. You know, the Bible's not specific in terms of how long you should mourn, but I think we know that there are just some things, especially if you know in your heart of hearts that you kind of moved on too quickly, that something was skipped. There's a process, a mourning process that you seem like you have skipped. And it sounded like you had some desires, some needs, even financial needs, and someone came, stepped up to the plate and met those needs. Now, are you in a relationship with this person?
The person is in my life. I mean, it's just so much that I'm confused. How did I let this person in when this person has a totally different situation going on? And why am I accepting of that? And, you know,
and are you
what
physically,
am I letting in?
Are you physically and sexually active with this person?
I have been.
Yeah. Okay.
I have been.
Okay. And I think that's really where the heart of the issue lies, is that you've not served God wholeheartedly in this. You've not let go. You've taken matters into your own hands. You've been worldly about them. And so the simple direction that I can give you is the Bible teaches repentance. It means that you need to change. You know what you need to do in this situation. And it sounds like to me, you even know this man is not someone spiritual that is going to guide you in the right way. You know what? Again, objectively, my opinion, a godly man would have said, you know what? Maybe there's an interest there, but we're going to wait because it's too soon. You still haven't mourned your husband's death. Let me step aside. Let's wait. But it sounds like this man is an opportunist. Again, it's my opinion, but he took advantage of someone, a widow who had some needs. And that's what it sounds like to me. I can be wrong, but from someone who doesn't know the situation and what I'm hearing, and it sounds like you were just very weak and you know now, but you still have a choice. You don't have to stay stuck in that situation.
I believe I don't. I know that I don't have to stay in the situation. I just get confused because of all the other surrounding circumstances. And yes, I have taken matters into my own hands. I have not waited on God. And I read the word. You mentioned earlier with someone about James chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. I've been reading and examining what it means, and I've read James, the whole chapter of James, and, you know, I studied the Bible. I'm not saying that I understand it, and that's what I need, understanding so that I could discern, you know, what to do, what next steps to take, and just to wait for God, because this has been a situation in my life since the age of 14 that I have not been able to discern in the right relationships. And I just want to ask for prayer this morning because I feel boxed in.
Absolutely. And you know what, Catherine, we'll pray, but I want to do something more than just pray. You know, I'm going to share a passage with you, and then I want to encourage us to have more conversation about this because it sounds like you need some good old, what we call good old discipling. You need someone to be in your life, to challenge you, to call you higher, and then you need to apply what's challenged. And so let me just do that a little bit really quickly. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "Repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and times of refreshing may come from the Lord." You know, just hearing you, you sound heavy, like there's a load that you brought upon yourself. And so God is just saying for yourself to repent, and repent means to change. So get out of that situation. You will feel a lot better. a lot more secure. I think you might even need some counseling in terms of you have to mourn your husband's death. Mm. You probably need to forgive yourself of some things as well, because, of course, God will forgive you. But then you also need to make sure that you set yourself up to live the right way, to clean your house, and then to, like, start adding other things as well, go into another relationship that's no good. And so I think that's what you need, Catherine. So please, let me connect. Let's make sure we connect and don't go anywhere, right? We're going to take a quick break. So if you can stay on that line, if you can hold, and we'll connect with you right after this.
All right. So we are going to return with more conversation about beyond, being beyond the unanswered prayer. We'd love for you to give us a call and speak to your situation. 855-454-5905. Hang tight. Marriage Beyond the Vows returns after this.
To Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
And a very good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us. We're now in the final segment of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We are talking about being beyond the unanswered prayer. What prayers are you putting before God about your marriage or your relationship? Still got a few spaces left on the phone bank there, so give us a call, 855-454-5905. Let's go to line one and speak with Lynn. Lynn, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Good morning. It's wonderful to speak to you guys. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller. I love this show.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Yes. Well, I have a comment and a question. My comment is, when you pray for something and you're not specific and you actually get what you pray for,
Okay.
So, what I did, or my church has a saying, making 2012 the year 2012 your best year yet. So, in prayer, I said, "Well, Lord, one of the things that would make this my best year yet is that you introduce me to my male best friend." I left a lot of things out.
Okay.
I left a lot of things out, and I actually got what I prayed for.
Mm. Which was?
Yeah,
Male who could be my best friend. Mm. But along with that came a whole bunch of issues on his side, which I've been ministering to him about. Mm. I find myself saying, okay, Lord, yeah, this is not it. This is not really what I wanted.
He's your best friend.
When I try to back away, God was like, no.
Okay. Well, you prayed. Now, let me ask you this. What was the desire of your heart when you prayed for that? Was it you just wanted someone you could encourage? Was it, I mean, what were you thinking when you asked God for this male best friend?
Well, I'm single, so I'm desiring to be married. So when I get married, I want to be able to marry my best friend.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing.
Okay. So I wanted someone, a male in my life, who could be my best friend that will hopefully, you know, in the long run or in the short run, whatever, I would be able to marry.
Okay. So this man is not the man you would marry.
Right now, no.
Okay.
Absolutely not. Mm. The flip other side of this thing is he's a believer, but he's not practicing. He doesn't go to church, you know, and I'm trying to get him there. But I'm like, Lord, I'm like, this is not really what I had in mind. And when I go to him in prayer, he's like, well, you know, what I'm hearing is you're not perfect either.
Sure.
And this is a brother that needs help.
Well, I think also it needs to be in accordance to God's will. Two quick things that I want to say to you is, number one, I think it's great that you want to be this guy's friend, but it sounds like he needs some other men in his life.
Yes.
And I think, you know, men need men. And I'm not saying we, you know, I need my wife. I love my wife, but I need my brothers in my life that are going to call me higher and challenge me. And it's just, there's just some things that are not going to come across the same way coming from you. And so I want to encourage you to make sure you let go, like put the brakes on a little bit and let some guys get in there and even direct them to some men, like who's in your life, who's mentoring you.
The problem with that is I'm in New Jersey. He's in Virginia.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Well, start pushing him to start finding and let him know. I mean, you're saying you're ministering to him. I mean, the Bible talks about one another relationships. It talks about fellowship. It talks about the need for, you know, having someone in your life. I mean, that's Jesus spent 3 years of his life with other men, and then he taught them. And everywhere you look in the scriptures, you know, it was all about relationship, one another relationships. And Jesus's men's ministry was a very strong men's ministry. So he needs those men in his life. So let's put that on pause for a second, though. That's one side of it. And then the second one is you just want to make sure that you are specific, because I think a lot of times when we pray about something, God already knows what we want, right? But sometimes we're not clear. And so when we start being specific, we start being very clear. And I'll just give you an example, personal example for me. I tell people I was blind, but now I see. Like when I was when I met my wife, I didn't realize she was the one.
Right.
I really didn't. I had just broken up from a relationship. I wasn't really looking, but my wife and I became really great friends. We were young. We were leading a campus ministry together. We just had a lot of fun. And I remember feeling like she's a great sister. I just didn't see her that way until a really good friend of mine sat me down and says, you know, what are you looking for? And I never really thought about it. You know, a lot of times men don't have a list. Women do. They write down specific. Yeah. But I knew some things I wanted and what I didn't want. So I just started kind of mentioning these things to him. And he was like, that's her. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, everything you said, that's Amaryllis. And I'm like, you serious? And because I was able to kind of paint that picture, it was clear to me. Now, God had already given her to me. She was there. We were great friends. She was interested, again, but I was blind. But what helped me was having a good friend in my life and putting those things, you know, at least verbalizing them. For some people, it might be writing them down. So you won't know. I think for you, you're clear. Okay, this is not the guy. There's some specific things you want. But when that guy comes along, if you're praying specifically, you will recognize him. So the prayer, a lot of ways, it's, okay, God will answer, but the prayer is even writing it out is more for you, I think, than even for, you know, for God to answer. Because, you know, God knows the desires of our hearts.
Yes, yes.
All right. Well,
okay.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And Lynn, right?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much for calling in. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Okay, take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Let's go to an anonymous caller on line 5. Caller, good morning. You're live on the air. Hey, caller, are you there? Oh, okay. Either they can't hear us or they have stepped away from the phone. Okay.
Well, can I use this time to kind of ask a quick question?
Sure.
Go for it.
Sorry, line 5.
Sorry about that. Marcos, I just have a, when you say women have a list and they kind of get more specific, and you're saying that men, we normally just kind of do, you know, kind of go by the seat of our pants, or because I know that for me, I'm looking back, I didn't really have a list. I had a general kind of what I wanted. I want someone that's just going to love me, you know, and take care and put up with my mess.
Someone's going to help you out. Well, here's the reality. I think everyone knows what they want and don't want for the most part. I don't mean everyone. Some people are clueless, but I mean, if you're mature and you're hoping and praying, there are some specific things. Like for me, I knew what I didn't want specifically. I don't want this. And then there were some things I specifically wanted. And I'm talking about qualities, like really good qualities. And at the same time, it is important to write those things down. I know if I would not have shared those things with my good friend, I probably wouldn't have gotten the same feedback. I believe God would have worked some way somehow. But I'm so grateful that he put people in my life.
Right.
And so what I would say is, if you don't have that, at least surround yourself with good people, good brothers in your life that can help you and say, listen, Sam, I know you and this relationship is going to be good for you. You know, you're too emotional, and here you are with an emotional woman. Now you're both going to be a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you usually want someone that balances you out or that complements you. The Bible does say in Ecclesiastes that two are better than one, because if one falls down, there's someone there to help them. Well, what if you're with someone that's always down and you're down? I mean, that's depressing. You mm-hmm. want someone that's going to balance you. And again, these are just our opinions, but I think that some people don't choose wisely and they have regrets for the rest of their lives.
Right. I kind of look at it where in that situation, God has definitely said, you know what? You're the child. You have no clue what you really want. So he ended up blessing me with someone to say, you know what? I know exactly what you need. And there it is. So, yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks.
Okay, great.
Right, good stuff.
Absolutely.
Don't forget, our phone number is 855-454-5905. If you have a comment, definitely. If you have a question, make sure you get in before we have to get out. Let's go to line five.
All right.
Let's go back to line five. I think we have our anonymous caller on the line. Caller, good morning. You're
Hi,
live
good
on
morning.
The air.
How are you guys?
Good, good, good. Thanks for being there. What's your comment?
My question is, what do you do when you you're trying to have a good relationship with God, but the person that you're involved with is an atheist and they don't believe in God, and they're always mocking him, and there's nothing ever good that he says about them, and you're trying to let them see the light, basically.
And is this someone you're married to?
No, this is single relationship. Somebody that I'm dating.
Okay. Now, question for you though. I mean. And you consider yourself a Christian?
I'm sorry, repeat that again.
Do you consider yourself a Christian?
Yes.
And this person is an atheist. They don't believe in God at all.
Exactly. They don't believe in anything that they can't see. That's their okay. answer.
And are you familiar with the scripture in 2 Corinthians 6 where it talks about not being yoked with unbelievers?
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Now, my question, so why are you dating this man?
But the thing, well, that's a good question. But the thing is, I kind of believe that God has the ability to change people. So I kind of felt like, you know, maybe if I work with that person and try to show different insight of things, that maybe they will, you know, have a better understanding.
Yeah, but God could change people, but who said that's your job?
That's true.
God gave you a specific job, and that's to obey him. And it says, do not be yoked with unbeliever. Because what happens is, and this is what the scripture talks about, is usually we think we're going to influence them. They tend to influence us. How can you have a relationship built on God if he doesn't even believe in God? And his attitude about God is, you know, I in some ways, I think he mocks God. And
yeah.
So, like, I really don't understand. And you're going to help me with, you're seeing something very clear in the Bible. But yet you feel like you have a better approach. That sounds a little bit insane to me.
And I do believe that. I guess for me, it's not like a serious relationship, but this is a person that, you know, that I guess I have some kind of hope because we had past relationships before.
Okay.
So it's kind of like we're going back and forth. So he comes, which is weird. He comes to church with me mm-hmm. at times. So I don't know if this is just something. Is it like a camouflage to put on for me?
I don't know, but I tell you this. Until you get out of that picture,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be incredibly hard for him to even understand
okay.
what this is about. Because his relationship with God can't be built on a relationship with you. It has to be on his relationship with God. Okay. And what it does, it sounds like to me, what it's going to do is going to take your focus away. Now, how do you deal with... And I'm just going to be really blunt here, if you don't mind. Someone who doesn't believe, they don't have the same standards of the Bible. And let's say he wants to have a sexual relationship. What do you do?
Well, we don't have a sexual relationship. And that's my one thing. Like I told him, like, you know, we're not going to be intimate
okay.
because we don't have the same views, you know, and this is where I am trying to be in life, like Christian wise. And this is what my focus is. So I don't know if he's trying to do things to please me in a sense to get to that part.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry. This is what I wanted to ask you. Basically, everyone in a dating relationship is always going to put their best foot forward
yes.
to make you feel comfortable. Everything is there. And then you kind of lower your guard down. My question to you, when you said something about we're not having an intimate relationship because we don't have that connection with God or that mutual understanding. So let's say tomorrow he changes that and he says, you know what, I believe in God and everything. So are you then going to have a sexual relationship?
No, he would have to show and prove to me more.
Okay, like, what you're missing is then look at what the Bible says about even having sex before marriage.
Okay,
see, you're still saying he has to prove. So he proves it. Wait, 6 months, a year, he's gone to church. He's on his knees. He's praising and the tambourine, the whole thing. Then are you still going to? The bottom line is that you should be, one, married. Look at your Bible.
Yeah.
And look into what you need to do to please God. And I think that's what you're really missing is the fact that you're not putting God first in this relationship or even for your life. You must be accountable for your own salvation.
Okay.
All right. And I thank you for your openness. But I tell you this much, it sounds like you need to get grounded on God's word and trust him. God knows this. He designed this, not us. And it works. And I've seen it work. And let me tell you, if this man is for you, it would be under different circumstances.
Okay.
You understand what I mean by that?
Yes, I do.
Like, at some point, he will find God, and he would be the man that you need in your life. But right now, he can't do that. He can't even be able to give you something he himself doesn't have.
Okay.
All right. Well, we thank you. Thank you so much for your call today.
Okay.
All right. Take care. All right. Let's go to our next caller. I think it's line four. Okay, we're going to figure that out.
Line two.
Okay, we have an anonymous caller on 92 who has been separated for 9 years. Caller, you're live on the air.
Yes, hi. How are you guys doing?
Good.
We're doing very, very well. I just wanted to say something really quickly. I know there's some other callers who are waiting patiently. Please don't get impatient with us. We'll be right with you. Many of you, you're just so you know, you're next, all right? So, but for you right now, thank you, an anonymous caller. We appreciate you calling in. Tell us a little bit more about the situation, please.
Okay, well, we got married in 2003. I have four children, and, I already had three, and then we had one within the marriage. And within the year of 2003, we separated. So, within that time when we got married, I just knew discernment that we wasn't equally yoked, but it was like maybe 2 days before that I actually took heed that he wasn't the one, and, you know, it was a church wedding. So, we've been married, we've been separated since 2003, basically, and each time, you know, I have spoken with this guy, you know, well, I'm going to say my ex-husband, he has been like, well, we're not legally married because the paperwork didn't go all the way through. So,
Legally married? I'm not clear about that. Say that again, please. You're saying you're not?
Yeah. Yes. He was saying that we are not, the paperwork wasn't legalized. So I just not too long ago, because I don't want to go into another year being hindered when I desire to be married again.
Mm-hmm.
So I called down to that court myself and did some research, and the paperwork is there. And honestly, within some years back, I had been praying and asking God, you know, to either, you know, make it work or deliver me. So spiritually, I actually heard shackles fall, you know, off of me. It might sound kind of, you know, different, but, you know, that's what I felt. That's what I heard. So my thing is, I don't want to go into another year and this guy is not, he hasn't been supporting us, you know, and me and we have actually been through, but thank God for being God, you know, that we are better now. But I just,
okay,
you know.
Okay, let me just, you know, to be clear here. All right, so you married this guy through the church, but you're saying, is that confirmed that the paperwork never went through, so, like, you're legally not married?
No, we actually are legally married.
So explain that part where you said he mentioned that the paperwork wasn't through. So you are legally married.
Yes, we are legally married. He's stating that, like, you know, when you do the wedding, the vows, then particular parts are supposed to go to particular places. So, like I said, he was just saying that, well, that paperwork didn't reach to its destinies or where it's supposed to have went to.
Okay.
So, and this is what he has been saying over the years. So, like I said, I've just been doing some research, and I actually talked to someone where, you know, that county that we got married in, and they were basically saying that we were legally married.
Okay, so that's confirmed. So you're legally married. And your question is, you're trying to figure out to move on because you don't want this relationship to linger because you don't really have a relationship. He doesn't live with you. He's not taking care of the children. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay, so where are you in this process? Are you wrestling with, should you divorce him? Should you, I mean, you're obviously already separated. Is that what you're thinking? You want to divorce him and marry someone else?
Yes, well, yes, I do. I want to divorce, and I'm not anxious to marrying no one else because I'm content where God has me at right now, but I am, you know, desiring to be married again. And over the years, this has been a hindrance for me.
Okay. It sounds like a little bit of a complicated situation, to be honest with you. I don't think I'm getting a lot of clarity there. You want to divorce him on the grounds of what? Because the Bible makes it really clear. You could only divorce him and move on if he's been unfaithful.
Well, I will say this. He honestly, back in 2003, we started having difficulties actually when we moved into a new home.
Okay.
And he left. Like, all of a sudden, I realized that the water bill, his portion of the bills wasn't getting paid. And before you knew it, it was like, man, the children was just there. So thank God I had to quickly move us into our apartment complex area.
Okay.
And we had to move on from there. And then after that, you know, so he has been unfaithful. He has spoken with me within a certain amount of years back when he said that he was trying other relationships.
Okay, so he's been unfaithful. So why don't you just divorce him? It sounds like the marriage is over.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing, because I honestly, over the years, I have been trying to be like, okay, well, we just need to go ahead and get this paperwork done because, you know, and just move on with life.
Yes.
And, you know, he's like, well, it's like always a reason why not to.
Well, there could always be a lot of reasons, but the reality is, it sounds like you're asking for something you already have the answer to, which is the marriage is over, he's been unfaithful, he sounds like he's not a good father, and you're just trying to move on. You just want to be from this. And if you want confirmation, I mean, the Bible makes it real clear. There are two. You have two choices here. Well, actually, you have three. One of them is you leave things the way they are, which this sounds pretty insane. Number two, you can just divorce him on whatever terms, and then you never marry again. Or you go back to what Jesus says in Matthew in terms of marital unfaithfulness, and you already say you have that. So you divorce him because of marital unfaithfulness, and then you're free and clear. And I don't mean that in that way, like you're free, whatever. I think you need to make sure you move forward with a lot of caution and you follow the word. But at the same time, this marriage is over. He's been out there. He left. He's unfaithful. I mean, I don't really know what else you need in terms of clarity, but you can absolutely divorce him. Unless you personally feel like God is telling you something else, then that's between you and God.
Right.
All righty.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And look, feel free to reach out to me some more if you want to have a more in-depth conversation about this. You can reach me at either praisephilly.com and look for me, Marcos Mercado, or go to praisecharlotte.com. Both websites, you can just send me a message directly.
Okay. Well, thank you guys so much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you.
God bless. Thank you.
Have a good day. Let's move over to line four and speak with Reverend Robert. Reverend Robert, good morning. You're live on the air.
Oh, good morning. How do you do?
Oh, right. We're doing very, very well. Thank you so much. I know you've been waiting for quite a bit, and you've been patient there. So thank you so much for that. It's good to hear from you. Please tell us. I think you have a...
You know, that's one should be the qualities for a Christian, being patient.
Being patient, absolutely.
Yeah. You see, I want to talk about prayer. Prayer is not just talking to God, you know. Most of the time we think asking. His prayer is talking to God and listening to God. We don't listen. That is the main problem that we have.
That's true.
Like God spoke to Abraham. God, it's like, you know, prayer.
You're preaching to the choir. You know what, Reverend Robert, right? It's so true that people don't listen. Because you know how many times people call in and they have questions, but then they talk and they don't listen? And you're like, you called. Like, listen to the question. And so in your case, you're saying we do a lot of talking. We don't do enough listening. Yes. So what is the problem? Why don't we listen?
Because most of the time, most ministers even don't know that prayer is talking and listening. It's two ways. God also talked to us. Let me give you an example. I'm a Ghanaian. When I was in Ghana, I wanted, you know, I wanted to further my studies. And I was one time reading the scriptures, and I found Psalm 2, verse 8. It says, ask of me, and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance and uttermost part of the world your possession. I canceled the nations. I wrote the USC.
Okay.
And I started praying, God, give me USC to further my studies.
Okay.
I'm so poor, I don't have money even for air ticket. I don't have anything.
Okay.
And you know what happened? After 3 good years, God just crossed my path with one Samuel, Dr. Obinapa, who was taking his doctorate in a seminary in America. And that is how I got here. I said, oh, I also want to be in the seminary. I give him my credentials and everything. He sent to the seminary, and then they accepted me, Eastern Baptist Oka Seminary.
Okay.
He accepted me, but how do I come? I went to the embassy, got a visa, but I have no air ticket. I have no money.
Okay.
And I combed the street of Accra almost for 2 good weeks. I couldn't get, nobody was prepared to help me to get the air ticket. And I started praying, and God said, you have not asked me. I listened to God. God said, you have not asked me for the air ticket. You know what happened? So I said, thank you, God. I'm not going to ask you for the air ticket. The school has opened, but I have nowhere to come to the school. No money.
Sure.
I started praying, and you know, a friend of mine who was in Amsterdam, a pastor friend, quite a long time, just called me on a friend's number, and that time I was in the friend's house.
Okay.
It was a miracle, in Tema, and said, a friend is coming to Ghana. That is why I'm calling you. I want to know what you need to send it to you. And I'm saying, I'm going to America. I don't have air ticket. He said, I'm sending you 2,000 guilders for your air ticket.
There you go. Amen.
So that pastor in Amsterdam sent $2,000 through the friend, and I got the money.
That's a good friend.
When I started praying, God answered a prayer. You see, because I was looking for it without praying. And God said, you have not asked me.
That's true. I love that. That's a great, great message there. I also want your friend's number, the one in Amsterdam, because I want to ask him for a plane ticket as well. No, but I do want to say, and old jokes aside, I think that is a great testimony. And I hope and pray that people are really listening, because to me, the most powerful statement you made there is that for 2 weeks, you were asking all these people, but you didn't ask God. And I think that happens, especially with relationships. We don't really humble out and just say, God, I can't do this. I need you to do this. And sure enough, he works miracles. So thank you, Reverend Robert. We appreciate your call.
And listen. Let me talk a little bit. We have to listen to God. If you don't listen to God, all the prayers that we are doing will be, you know, God, sometimes he answers, immediately we call unto him.
That's true.
You know, a book has come out, Effective Prayers. If you go to Amazon.com, you can find it. And you can get all these things in it. I'm telling you.
All right. You know? Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, unfortunately, we do want to make sure that we go on to some others. And thank you so much for sharing this and for listening to our show.
Okay, bye-bye.
Right. Okay, take care. Let's go to an anonymous caller on line one. Caller, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Hi. I have a question. I have several questions, I think.
We might not have time for all of them. So go with your most important one first, because we might not have time. We might run out of time.
And that's about being unequally yoked. And my reason for asking that question is I was with a Christian man who I thought I was equally yoked with, and the relationship turned out to be abusive. Mm-hmm. Whereas so now I'm with a Muslim man, and it has been like one of the best relationships that I've ever had. Unfortunately, it has hit a bump in the road.
Okay.
At this point. And I would say that it's kind of severed somewhat. And I've been praying and asking God, like, is this separation from you? Is it from the enemy? Like, where did this come from? Because it has been so great so far.
Okay.
Like, everything has been good. Now, he does have a fear of God, and he does go to the masjid, and I'm active in church. And like I said, it's been great. And it's like, well, are we unequally yoked? I know being yoked together is a group of beliefs. Like, you have, like, basically almost the same belief systems. We have shared about our religion together.
Hold on 1 second. I'm sorry. And I just have to interject. There's a huge difference between Islam and Christianity. I mean, and the biggest difference is where Jesus stands, right? We know that as a Christian, we're following Jesus as the Son of God, not just a prophet. And so we're putting our faith in God through Jesus. And we know that's the only way. And again, this program is not about preaching, you know, the different religions or anything like that. But I think pretty much people would know, for the most part, would tell you that a Christian and a Muslim are not equally yoked. Okay. All right. So now you're saying you had this great relationship. How long were you in the relationship for?
Well, it's been a few months.
Okay, so it's a few months. And I have to ask this question. It's personal. But were you having sexual intimacy in this relationship?
Yes, we were.
Okay. Number one, when you're saying it's great, it can be great in a worldly way. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you could have great sex outside of marriage. You could have a lot of great things, but by the world standards. Now, what true greatness is when you do it God's way and his blessing is on it, meaning that you're able to help each other make it to heaven. You're being an instrument for him and you make it, you know, the goal is to make it to see God. To me, it sounds like you've compromised. And yeah. You're saying it's great. Now, do you want the relationship with God or do you want the relationship with this man?
Well, I want the relationship with God first. And
I appreciate your openness.
Yeah, I want the relationship with God first. That's no question.
It doesn't sound like from the Bible, from 2 Corinthians 6, the relationship with this man wasn't a relationship that was pleasing God. And I can say that not as an opinion. I say that as a fact from God's word. You were unequally yoked. You were in sin. It's not the will of God. Now, that doesn't mean he can't change this man and you can have the right relationship. But I'm saying at the present time, the way you were doing it was wrong.
Okay. Because he felt like I was a positive influence in his life because of his past. And he really appreciated me, you know, just for being the person that I was. And he will always compliment me on, like, you're such a good person. You're so different. So I was making some form of an impact on him.
Absolutely. But let me tell you, you also were a very bad example to him. Because for you share with him what being a Christian is, and you didn't hold on to the standard of the Bible.
Okay.
So I just want to encourage you, look, it's more important than anything else, more important than this man's opinion of you, is what God have to say about this relationship.
Okay.
It's not pleasing in his eyes. I mean, from what you're telling me, this doesn't sound good.
Okay.
All right. Okay. But thank you. We appreciate you calling in, and I hope you take this to heart and go back and study it out. 2 Corinthians chapter 6.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
All right, take care.
You too.
Well, that's it. We have to close yet another show.
The end of the road. We're going to let Sam close out with singing that song.
Hold on. No.
Wow.
Not. All right, so Tiffany, your turn. Now, we've reached the end of the road of our show, yet another show. We will be back next week.
That's
same
right.
Time. And next week, we're actually going to talk here on Marriage Beyond the Vows about being single and content. It's right around that time during the holidays. So it's for married folks as well. We want to encourage you to call in and give some advice to singles. But we're going to have a few single guests here in studio.
Including your co-host.
There you go. Including Tiffany herself. We're going to let her lead the discussion next week. But we are going to talk about that. And again, it's Marriage Beyond the Vows. But we will take a little twist in terms of being single and content, especially during the holiday season.
All right. So make sure you check it out. Sam, thank you so much for joining us. We also want to thank our producer down in Charlotte, Ron. Thank you for all that you do. And much love to our in-studio producer, Larry. Thank you, my dear. You are awesome as always. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive week. We'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.